and welcome to
Love
Spirit
Talk
Day.
Radio.
All right. I was forgetting about the lady. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spirit Therapy on this Monday night. My name is Nicole Tomasini. I'm your host. And joining me is my co-host, Diane Mallett. And today
Hello. We
are talking. Yeah. Can you hear us?
I just went. No, that was me. Hello.
That's Diane, everyone. And so today we're going to talk about how emotions change our world. I think it's such a great topic because emotions are all around us, aren't they? And they can take us in so many directions. So I was going to start out with, what are emotions? Emotions are what we feel when to see how close we are to our inner nature and our true selves or not. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely, but I also think that one of the problems that we have with emotions is having identifying our emotions. And sometimes what I've found is like people in general like don't understand what they're feeling when they're feeling it. Mm. They can be have symptoms of emotions, whether it's shortness of breath or high blood pressure or, you know, just their fists are clenching or their teeth are clenching or they feel super relaxed or happy and giggling, but they don't necessarily know how to pinpoint their actual emotions because there's such a huge range of emotions. But and then where does those emotions come from? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sure. Well, I think to start generally, are you feeling good or are you not feeling good? And then if you're not feeling good, then you can start to narrow it down. I like to do the self questions of, and starting once again, generally, am I angry? Am I sad? Am I feeling lonely? Am I frustrated? Any of these are telling us exactly where we are, even if we're not sure what's triggering it or why we feel that way. I think that's a good place to start. And
I agree, because, definitely.
Because at the end of the day, I think we once we know where we are, even the details as to why we're there doesn't really matter. It's most important to see how you can make yourself feel better, even just a little bit. I like listening to Abraham talk through Esther Hicks, and says a lot of just pointing your boat in the right direction. You don't have to make a home run or get to the end of you know, everything is sunshine, but just let the feeling be and really just relax the reins a little bit and accept and acknowledge exactly where you are and know that even when you're feeling these things, that you are loved, you have help around you physically and non-physically, and it's telling you something about where you are and something is making you feel that way. So just to stop and acknowledge right there, I think is a very helpful thing. I'll tag team with you if you want to add right there.
I totally agree with you, identifying just the basics of how you're feeling. And I think what I wanted to touch upon too, as far as emotions, is how we create what's coming up in our lives based on what our emotions are. And like you said with the boat, if we're in a space that we're in negative space, you know, how do we move that boat into positive space so we can start creating in a positive direction? Because you can create negative energy and you can create positive energy, and your emotions are an amazing fuel for this whole manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to guide your thoughts in a way that makes you feel better. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, one is to think of the best thought you can possibly think of right now. What would make you feel better? And just see what comes to mind and see if you can't feel what that would feel like, even for a moment. And then know that, okay, this is where we would like to be and we see where we are. So to start to focus more on where we want to be than where we are, I think is where the real training and the work begins and always is, because it's about how fast we can get ourselves back to where we want to be or even higher than we were before, whatever. Always to feel good. And when I say feel good, it doesn't necessarily mean to be always happy. That would be weird if you were constantly happy. It's more about a contentment and a sense of peace, inner peace, that nice feeling where you're just being. We all know what that is, even if it's just for a moment. So to feel that more and more. And so to just reach for that feeling of what it feels like to feel good when you're feeling bad, it takes some, you know, poking around and finding something, because sometimes you just keep pulling yourself into the feeling that you're feeling now. So are there any exercises that you do anything to get yourself where you want to be when you're in those situations?
One of the things that I like to do is I do a lot of meditation and stuff, but sometimes my emotions absolutely take hold of me and they leave me completely incapacitated. I can't function. I'm in a space where I can't really identify what's going on, but I know I don't feel good. And I know I feel what I always throw in as the big ballpark, you know, just this, I'm stressed. You know, and I think everyone can just say I'm stressed, but I do that to myself a lot. As a person, I'm always like, hey, I'm just so stressed out, I can't do this anymore. And then I shut down a little bit. And what I tend to do during those times is, you know, I usually look for emotional support, which is a great avenue to, you know, seek out people who can listen, identify, validate my feelings, and then shift my perspective. Shifting perspective is crucial, and I know that sometimes I can't do that by myself, and sometimes I need to reach out to, you know, guidance from friends, from therapists, from people that I've had in my life for a really long time. And I think we know that our emotional net, our support net, you know, and times. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of the experiences I've had with you and using you as a spirit therapist was, you know, I was going through some times with a relationship issue where I was so sad, just so, like, the sadness of losing this person in my life that had been all-encompassing. And I just felt like I couldn't break through. And I, you know, gave you a call, and being a spirit therapist as you were able to listen, validate my feelings, but also put me in a different space and show me that facts aren't the same as emotions. And that was a real turning point for me, because when I start to get emotional, I can start to detach and find out what the facts are. And when I can detach from my emotions and find out what the true nature is of the business, I can actually start to make progress on what the next step in my life is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think having an emotional support group like that is really good. I think what you do is amazing. I mean, having this opportunity for spiritual therapy and having it out there is exactly what, you know, some people need. I mean, some people don't have a support group, and they need a therapist to kick things off of.
Right, absolutely. That's the best thing, because then when you can get it outside of your own head and outside of your own emotions, and you tell somebody else, even if it's a jumbled mess, you can say, well, you know, I don't know why I'm feeling this, but this happened, this has been on my mind, blah, blah, blah. And somebody else can look at it and go, oh, well, of course, you know, you can see the through line without, because they're not feeling the emotion. So,
mm-hmm.
so when you can learn to do that for yourself, when you can go, all right, I'm feeling these things, but let's put the feelings aside. Let's go into what am I thinking about and what are the facts? And if this, again, if this was somebody else, how would I see this situation? And, you know, because, again, if you make yourself the person that you're talking to, then you can remove yourself from the situation. I think that that's very helpful because then you learn to validate how you're feeling. You're like, oh, well, you know, this has happened 14 times, and every time I expect something different to happen, and then every time it happens, I get so annoyed. Well, so there you go. You're setting yourself up for failure. You've seen that this is what happened, but you're expecting something different, and then you're getting annoyed, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
so then just don't expect something different. Expect what already happened, but maybe focus on maybe, you know, what would be a better case scenario happening and see if you can't mm-hmm. change it that way. And I think that brings us into the title of what we're talking about today of emotions changing the world. You know, when you're feeling something, that's your vibration. That's what you're walking around with. So you can't be surprised if you go out there and you're angry and you're just stomping around the world when anger comes right back at you, you know, and you go, oh, well, of course this happened too. Well, yeah, of course it did. Because, you know, we're creating our world by our thoughts and our feelings. So that's exactly, the universe thinks that's what you're asking for, you know. So
right. You create a vibration, and I believe that you attract or repel based on your vibration. And and it's also, I think, emotions, we were talking earlier about emotions being contagious and being, you know, I see this, I play this off, it's my daughter all the time, but, like, it's amazing how I'll get up and if something happens and I get super frustrated, I trip over my own self and I drop something all over the floor and then I get angry, then I take it out on her and the next thing you know, we're just angry in the car. We're really not angry about anything. We're just sitting there in anger. Just she's angry at me, I'm angry at her, and we're angry together. We're just driving that car of anger all the way to school, and then she brings it to school, and she brings it to her teachers and her friends, and you know what I mean? And it takes time to turn that around. And I think in general, I mean, I know myself, I need to keep tabs on my emotions. You know, I don't want to be an emotional, like, emotionally vomit all over the people that I'm with. And it comes mm-hmm. to maturity, and it comes to, you know, relationships and this and that and the other thing, you know. But it's amazing mm-hmm. how when our relationships start to affect other people and our living situations, that we really need to take a look at our world around us. And where mm-hmm. we can make changes and what we're doing to have a better effect on the relationships that we have around us, starting from our own families and branching out into our communities. It's pretty interesting that way.
Yeah, and it starts with what we start with in the morning. You know, that every day we gain momentum from what we start thinking about or feeling about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good place to start when you wake up in the morning to see where you are and see if you can get yourself to a place that's comfortable. And again, that is where the work comes in, because, you know, a lot of times we come out of slumber and it's a beautiful place and, you know, you don't have to do stuff and then you wake up and you remember all the stuff you got to do and all the feelings that you feel. So how you start there, and there are certain things you can tell yourself. I mean, again, there's one of the things that I've adopted that that works really well in the morning is to look outside, look up at the sky and say, I know that I am loved. I know that there are forces out there that are watching me, that are guiding me, that are loving me, that are standing by me, and get that and just keep going. Any word that you can think of for that loving feeling, start with this going and knowing that everything is happening exactly the way it needs to be happening, and it's up to you where you want to point your ship for the day. And that's it, just today, you know. Same thing as
that's really
AA,
amazing,
right?
That you say that. That's true, because it's taken me many, many years to learn this, but through other people, I've learned to pray in the morning and to meditate in the morning and to read inspirational books in the morning. These are just suggestions made to me over time to create a atmosphere in myself to know that that I know that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm up and I'm taking on the world. And it's funny, when those things are at a place, my world doesn't function the way that I want it to do today. And it's in retrospect, when I'm looking back at my day, this morning I didn't get up and pray. I didn't get up and be grateful for getting up. And also, too, I think nutritionally, like what you put into your body and everything like that makes a huge difference. And every morning I have a little ritual. I get up and I make a green shake, and I filled my body with good nutrients and whole nutrients and start myself off in a healthy way from that very beginning. So when I know I go to wake up my daughter, I can start her day off with a healthy, nutritious, positive outlook on life, which is what we try to do daily. But today, it's just so funny. I look back, didn't pray, didn't meditate, and didn't have my shake. Way off. And you know what? It manifested itself throughout my whole entire day, Nicole, just the whole day, because here it is. It was about 6 o'clock at night. And the person that I have the most conflict in my life, and I don't want to get into the personal effects of it, but we all have those people. Haven't heard from in years, and not years, but like a long time. He calls and starts yelling immediately on the phone.
There's no shake.
I dropped the girl off school, with that negative. And then by 7 o'clock at night, I'm getting yelled at by the universe, And what I did to turn that around, it's funny when you say, like, what do you do to turn that around? Well, I knew I had to get ready for the show. I didn't want to bring this energy into the show. I didn't want to necessarily do this whole analysis on why I'm feeling so crappy. But I lit some candles. I burned a little mugwort, which helps for divination and just to put you into a better space. It protects against evil spirits. It's just one of these things. And it also helps with fatigue and stuff. And I burned a little of that. And I just got myself into a better space so I could, because you can recreate your emotions and your manifestations at any point in your day. You can stop and start over,
Yes.
And change that, which is great, which is really good. So
yeah.
That's kind of where I was today. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, like in any moment, I think just that stopping and seeing where you are, and if you decide that's not where you want to be, just go, okay, stop. Stop. I'm not. Let's choose something else here. It makes a big difference. I'm thinking about, I wrote down something about expectations. Expecting the best, and I think I'll just go ahead and read it, and then we can discuss it. It's again from Abraham Hicks. I find it so helpful. All right, so expectation is a really powerful word. You get what you expect. So when you say, I care about my mood, I care about my emotions, I guide my thoughts based upon the way they feel. Because when you put emotion into the equation, then you can't go wrong. Focus on things that feel better. If the motive is the way you feel, you've got a far better probability of accomplishing it than if you're trying to sort out thoughts and put them into piles to make something of them. When you let emotions guide you, now you've got something that gives you a vibrational wavelength that will bring other things that will match it. Expect to feel good. Expect to be able to feel good. Expect to be able to get your high-flying disc going and expect to be able to stay there for a while. Expect to know the difference. Expect to know what to do when you get off of where you want to be. Expect the world to respond to your high-flying vibration. Come to expect that. This is the cornerstone of the worthiness you are all reaching for. You are all wanting to know your value. The best way to know it is to demonstrate it. The only way to demonstrate it is through alignment. The only way to demonstrate alignment is through focus. And the only way to focus consistently is to care about the way you feel. Thoughts? Comments?
I'm just trying to think of like where he's coming from. So what you're saying is, just to recap it, is he's saying that emotions kind of fuel what your direction is, but at the same time you have to, your expectations, like when you have to match your expectations to what like you want in life and like and your work. Could you just explain that to me a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. It's about expecting to feel good and expecting that the world is going to reflect the way that you're feeling. So instead of wondering if you can feel good, or, you know, trying to sort out your thoughts all the time, which you know, as a psychologist, I think that that's also important, because then you can get rid of these broken records. But you don't have to listen to all the chatter all the time. A lot of times you can just take your whole mood and move it into, okay, I know that I am worthy, and I know that I am here for a reason, and everything is conspiring in my favor, whether you know it or not. But it's a good place to start, because it's the truth. You wouldn't be here if you weren't supposed to be here. So coming from that place of, I know that everything is working out in my favor, so I am going to expect to feel good today. And then if you need to do a little work to get yourself there, then okay. But even when we know how to feel good, I think the next step is finding how to feel good every day, especially when you wake up not feeling so good, or something happens that makes you not feel good. How can you get yourself back to where it needs to be? And I think working on that, I expect it. It's not that it needs to go exactly the way you think it is, and it's not that anything that happens is telling you your worthiness or non-worthiness. It's more about sitting well in that you've created a vibration of happiness. Does that make sense?
Actually, it makes a lot of sense now that you kind of reiterated it. I mean, I used to run into this philosophy of life that, like, for a really long time I felt a lot of guilt and shame and remorse about a lot of things that I've done in my past. And I felt like a lot of times I would wake up and it would be catch up, you know, or make someone else feel better because I wasn't feeling good about myself and things like that. And I just felt like, and it had a lot to do with a lot of different things. And then I shifted my perspective. At some point down the road, somewhere 10 years ago or something like that, and I changed the way that my outlook was on life, and I started waking up, and my thought of the day was, you know, I know that God's working in my favor today, because why wouldn't he be working in my favor today? And it's kind of funny, like you can say God or the goddess or your higher power or your angels or your spirit, but those words, working in my favor. So it's always felt like no matter what was going on, no matter how the day was unfolding, it was working in my favor. I've been through a lot of losses recently, but I've shifted my perspective in the sense that when a loss is brought to my attention, I evaluate it, I sit with it, I feel the emotions, and then I know it's for my higher good, you know, because it's something that needed to be changed. Even if I didn't make the change itself and the change happened, it's something that's working in my favor. I know, well, for my example, like I lost my employment recently, and I had to sit in those feelings of hurt and resentment and depression and sadness and feeling unworthy and everything like that. And then I had to take a step back and realize that the universe is working in my favor. I should be in a different place, and it's allowed me to open opportunities where I'm starting new career opportunities and things like that, where I wanted to be, where I've wanted to be for a long time, but didn't have the time or energy to devote to those things. So even in the midst of very tragic situations, life in general is in my higher self is always working in my favor. Does that again? Yeah. Like as long as I don't get caught up in the emotions, and it's interesting because years ago, I would have sat in that emotional garbage forever, for months, crawled in my bed, shut the curtains, and just been like, this is miserable, and I can't get out of it, and, you know, nobody loves me, and how could this happen, and how could this happen to me?
Right.
I can actually, you know, get up every day and do something productive towards my goals. Because I have time now. Time is very valuable. And now that I have it for myself, it's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. And I see it as a very positive thing.
Yeah, and the way that we can choose how we feel about any situation, it doesn't matter what it is. You can decide whether you're going to feel a negative way or a positive way. And those are just the way that we describe it. Anything you feel is valid. You can feel literally however you want to feel. And sometimes, you know, feeling a little sadness or feeling a little anger, it helps the situation. That's how you want to feel. But being a deliberate feeler, deliberately saying, okay, you know, I'm feeling sad and I want to be here for a minute. But when you're ready to not feel sad, to know how to not feel sad, go, okay, I'm done with feeling sad. I'm gonna see about feeling at least all right now. I don't have to be happy and joyous, but at least let me get myself back to a place where, you know, I'm at least at neutral. And just that stopping and breathing and going, I am a being, I am a vibrational spirit being that is having a physical experience, and therefore I have emotions that guide me all the time. So that's how I'm feeling, and that's it. And then you can shift yourself nicely. I think it's when we get too far down certain roads, you know, we've told ourselves all kinds of things, and the emotion is the river, is the water that's carrying us down that way. And I know definitely being a woman and, you know, also with our once a month washer cycle. I mean, that's really what it is. You know, it's part of the washing. It's a physical washing. It's an emotional washing, spiritual washing for women. So, you know, to expect it and to know that, you know, to pay attention to what your body's telling you when it's coming. And to know that, you know, you're going to be a little on the emotional side and probably maybe make things bigger than they need to be. So to be able to, like, just let that be. Go, you know what, I'm a little crazy in these days. Women out there, we all know what that feels like when you're just like, I am just out of my mind right now. And to be able to just recognize it for what it is and go, okay, you're going to stay over there and blah, blah, blah. You're going to tell me all kinds of things, but I'm just not listening. And then, you know, 3 days from now, let's pick it up and see if all these things are not at least 80% better, if not non-existent, you know. And I think even you don't have to be a woman to do that. It doesn't have to be about your menstrual cycle. I mean, I think we can do that with anything. If we just stop it in our tracks, it's just how far you let yourself go down or not. That's helpful.
I was thinking that astrology and emotions have a pretty big part of your emotional scale too, on how deep you feel
and what direction
that you're prone to. And that's also another avenue that you can look at your emotions. I was having a conversation with my little witchling about her moon sign. And everybody is born with an astrological print. It's basically like the exact time of your birth will give you your sun sign and your moon sign and where all the planets are and everything like that. But the moon specifically dictates a lot of ways that we interpret our emotions or how we get waves of emotions and how
your
we
inner
feel
world.
And how we deal with our emotions. If you have a Pisces moon, for instance, and thank God I'm a Pisces and I don't have a Pisces moon because I would be emotional all of the time. But if you have a Pisces moon or a Cancer moon, you could be sucked into a very moody, up and down emotional thing. But if you acknowledge that and you know that that's part of your makeup and that's part of who you are, you can not let that dictate your spirit or where you're going, but you can take that and say, yeah, I feel things. I feel deeper than other people, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, my daughter actually has a Scorpion moon, and she, you know, what does that mean? How does that affect my emotions? And I said, you feel pain deeper and more succinct than most people, and you can give emotional pain. You can really give, you can make people feel like you're like razor sharp. You can make people very happy or make very, very sad, depending on how you transmit your emotions. You are, you know, more pinpoint. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in my moon, I believe, is in Virgo, which would give me kind of more of a balance and something that's a little bit more OCD in my emotions, I'd have to say. I have to say, this is my emotion, this is what I'm dealing with, and this is what I have to move it along into the next category. Which is good for me, because if it was anything else at this point, I think, you know, for me, I definitely have a wide range of emotions, but I need to keep that, my pocket of emotions, kind of steady and level-headed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when I'm feeling a little out of it, then I know that, you know, I'm out of it, and then I get back into the regular thing.
Yeah, knowing yourself, definitely. I mean, only you know how you feel things. And, you know, if you're listening to this show and thinking about these things, you're probably at least 25 years old, so you've had some time to figure yourself out. And a good friend of mine gave me a nice tidbit, a nugget of helpfulness with saying, you know, I said, well, I'm still kind of impatient. You know, I still get impatient. I mean, being an Aries, it's like our middle name. And he said, you know, Nicole, just know that that's you. That is you. You can be impatient. Sometimes it helps you. Sometimes it hinders you. Sometimes it puts the fire under your ass to get yourself going. Sometimes it's for a reason. And sometimes you're just being impatient. But just recognize that that's the way you are. You don't have to change yourself into being this perfect feeling. I don't feel anything negative, and I'm only positive. That's a lie. We're all everything. We all have the capability of feeling anything. There's nothing wrong with feeling anything. I mean, these words, positive and negative, have such connotations. It's really just like left side, right side. Just where do you want to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think just recognizing however it is that you feel about certain things, if you want to change how you feel about it, like, oh, every time this happens, I feel this, I feel jealousy, or I just feel immediate anger, heat. If you don't want to feel that anymore, then that's when we stop, recognize that we're feeling those things, and then direct ourselves in a different direction, or at least just release and accept that this is happening. This is making me feel angry. I understand that. Okay, so how about we just breathe? What's a different choice we could make? I mean, I think, you know, I keep coming back to that, but I think there are so many ways to get to that, and it always starts with just stopping the momentum that you have going on the thing you don't want to feel and giving it a moment to start to go in a direction that you do want to feel.
Yeah, I was thinking about our show on emotions this week, and I was thinking about the necessity of timeouts. And how there's two things that we don't give ourselves enough of, and stuff that we impose on children, and timeouts is one of them. And then another thing is just to sit and be, to stop the brain, and to, even if you could do it for 5 to 10 minutes a day, no music, no electronics, no computer, no book, no nothing, and just sit and breathe.
Yeah.
For a few minutes, just to get the wires back, you know, rewired again. And what we do with kids who are out of control, we put them in timeout. And as they grow older, it's certainly 100% okay to put yourself in a timeout. You know, I'm feeling too happy, too sad, too mad, too angry, too anxious, too ashamed, too vulnerable, to anything. If you're feeling too much, and I think the key is too much, and you just don't know how to control it or contain it, it's okay to put yourself into a timeout. Yeah. I need a minute. Take a walk.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Sit in your room.
Yeah.
Be in that sanctuary of peace where you know that you can just bring it back, you know, and find your space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do that to myself all the time. And I think that's something that...
That's because
you
need to be in a timeout all the time.
Right. You know, Aries Ram, right? More ramming into things. But I think nowadays, especially with, if you're awake to yourself and your inner nature, there's so much energy out there, and there's so much changing, and we're launching so many rockets of desire, and we're looking for things to move around and do what we want them to do. We know that there's a better way. There's a love and light way. So there's a lot of, and there's also this trailblazing, you know, that comes with its own energy. You're making a path that, if it was there, it was so long ago that it doesn't even, it's a completely new path that you're making. So to recognize that this takes an immense amount of energy, and I think nowadays, those 5 minutes just sitting in the car or whatever you can snatch, as well as, you know, some nice meditation. And people think of meditation like, oh, I got to, you know, do this, have a mantra and I got to sit in the position. No, meditation can be anywhere. It can be sitting in traffic. It can be lying in your bed. So.
Hello?
Yeah, I was thinking about where my train of thought went.
One of the things that my favorite meditations is cooking. And I love to cook. I love to chop vegetables. And what I do is I go into my sacred space, which is my kitchen, and for 1 hour I make that my sacred space, and I calmly cut vegetables or, you know, season things and find the right smells and the right, you know, everything to make it, you know, a very calming atmosphere. And that's meditational too. If you are knitting, some people knit, crochet, that's meditation. You know, meditation can be an action as well as, you don't have to, like you say, you don't have to just sit and, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, I rarely sit and meditate like that, but there have been plenty of times that I've got up and did it 10 minutes a day. Yoga is a powerful meditation. I know that most people are into doing some sort of physical activity, you know, daily, and that's meditative, and that brings you into better space. And you'll know, and you'll notice people who exercise daily they vibrate at a better emotional level. That's why they say, mm-hmm. you know, if you're depressed, incorporate exercise into your mm-hmm. program. You know, the foods that you eat will bring you to a better vibration, into a better space. Mm-hmm. Having a soothing cup of chamomile tea will bring mm-hmm. you into a different vibrational space.
And
smells, lavenders.
Giving thanks also. Just giving thanks when you're freaking out and you can go, okay, you know, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this life. Thank you. Just, you know, just start on a thing that you can be thankful for and just start on the train with that. It's really like brainwashing yourself, you know.
I love the gratitude list thing. That's amazing. If you can, you know, if you can do 5 things you're grateful for, stop, pause, put yourself in a timeout, grab your journal and just write 5 things you're grateful for. I'm grateful I'm breathing. I'm grateful I'm sitting, you know, I have friends. I'm grateful I have a family. I'm grateful I have a roof over my head. You know, those things, you boom, 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 rattle off 5 things you're grateful for, you will put yourself into a better state of mind easily. And it's your emotions that are going to create your, those are your muse. We get our music from our emotions. We get our best singers create, when they sing, they don't just write the lyrics that are truly emotional, but when they actually sing, their vibration based on emotion creates that feeling that will give you chills when you hear mm-hmm. that song, when somebody touches your soul, you know, it's just that comes from emotion. So we don't want to get rid of our emotions. We just mm-hmm. want to work with them. We want to
right.
have them be our guide,
mm-hmm.
tap into them, use them to the best of your
mm-hmm.
ability. And like you said,
yeah.
you can use anger. Anger is a powerful emotion, and some people don't know what to do with anger. What do you do with anger, Nicole?
Yeah, well, I am an expert at it. you know, born with quite a temper, and then, you know, to soothe myself from there. But I think with anger, it's that heat feeling that you feel. And, you know, if you're someone that's used to getting angry, it's a friend, really. It's like a friend, kind of like Darth Vader, you know? I mean, in the beginning, you know, you feel the call towards that, oh, this is going to feel so good, it's hot, you know? But at the end of the day, it always goes in some awry direction, and once you realize that, then you go, okay, so I'm feeling this. So see it as as a signal, as it, you, your spidey sense just went off. Something just pushed a big button in me. What's the button and why? And stop and assess the situation. And then once you know what it is, then that fight response can calm down, because it's not so much like, where is it, you know. I think that's learning to what kind of anger, we all have it, what kind of sadness, right? So then we can back ourselves up and go, okay, you know, at least I have an idea why. Do I want to do something about it? Well, probably not. We know that when we get angry, like, we're not really thinking straight. So, well, I want to know what to do. Well, then calm yourself. Just relax. Once again, you just have to breathe. I mean, it's really the only way, I think, to get out of any direction that you don't want to be going in, is to recognize the direction and stop and go, okay, is this really what we want to do? Usually the answer is no. So then what do we do about it?
Exactly. You know, it's pretty intense, like when you feel something, like whether it's rage or, you know, ecstasy or admiration or grief is another one, you know. It's almost, you feel like you can't control it, and you know, just
but that sense of
being
loss,
able to,
you know, what's grief really about is that you lost something, that something that was yours is no longer here, but that it's a lie. It's based on a lie, really, because you have everything that you are. The only thing that you ever own is yourself. So if something was here and now is not here, then that's exactly the way it needed to be for its own journey. So usually you love something that you've lost and feeling grief about. So if you love it, you need to be able to set it free and know that if it was supposed to be here, It would. And that nothing ever leaves you. Nothing is ever not, especially people. I mean, you know, this idea that death is the end is hopefully the world is realizing, is really antiquated. It's an old thing. And it's part of this fear thing. Oh, that's the end. That doesn't make any sense. You know, the fact that there's this constant, what is created can never be destroyed. And so it's always around you. And the vibration is always. So you can always tune into the vibration of a loved one. I mean, I talk to my father who passed over all the time. I mean, I know my father. I want to talk to him because we were close. And so I can have a full-out conversation, and it doesn't matter to me whether I'm making it up in my head or not. I don't really care at the end of the day, but I know that feeling. So he's always with me. You know, why do you miss someone? Well, because you want to hang out with them, you want to call them. Well, call them in your head. You can. It's just, you got to relax into it. You can do it, you know. So there's my spiel on grief and loss. Hopefully
it
will help some people.
There's so many things that, like, we can touch upon as far as the topic of emotion. You know, one of the things that I think about with emotion because I come from an art background, is the intensity of color and emotion, and what we can do to amplify emotions based on color, and how that really all comes back to spirit and to self and to our chakras, and how we align ourselves and keeping ourselves in balance by keeping our chakras open and keeping ourselves aligned and keeping ourselves motivated and finding ways to, like, keep going, like having like a balanced chakra, like being like easygoing and passionate and creative, and like instead of being imbalanced with our chakras when you're starting to deal with obsessions and addictions and, you know, guilt and depression and things like that. So that we can do a lot of things with color and with with food and with mantras and sounds and gemstones. There's so many ways that we can look around us and our spiritual community to actually make our emotions into the vibration that we are seeking. So there's definitely ways that we can mix it up. I mean, we don't have to just sit there and meditate and take that deep breath, but, you know, you can go to, you know, to, if you're really feeling low and feeling that energy of, I just can't make it through the day, which a lot of people feel that way. They hate their job. They hate getting up. They, you know, put on yellow. Put on a vibrant color. And you don't have to walk out of the house looking like Big Bird. You can just put on a yellow scarf or a nice hat or yellow shoes. Bring a little yellow into your life. Yellow is going to attract bright energy. It's going to make people smile when they see you. It's going to help with that chakra that's going to, you know, your sacral chakra, the center of your body that emits that beautiful energy. If you're having trouble balancing anger in your life, bring in red, the color red, so you can balance and open up your root chakra, you know, things like that. So there are definitely ways that we can, and fear and love are almost paramount. So if you are having trouble and you're feeling fear constantly, and because fear is one of those sensations that is very weird vibration, and it's hard to get rid of. Once you have fear in your life, it takes a while to dispel it. What you can do is you can work on your heart chakra and bring in love, wear the color green, and work with things like that. So there are things and techniques that you can do, and you can, you know, get in touch with Nicole on a one-on-one basis with spirit therapy, and she's familiar with the chakras and things like that, but you can incorporate colors into your vibration. You can incorporate smells into your vibration.
Using oils and essences and misters. I mean, our sponsor, Daughters of Isis, makes wonderful tools to deal with the senses. They're all little vials of oils or essential or flower essences that you take under the tongue, and then there are misters that you can mist the room and or spray yourself, and they're an immediate emotion changer, because it just depending on which smell you use, you know, like Quantum Shift is the Daughters of Isis make, is just clears, it gives you a clean slate. It, yourself, a room, just boom. All right, it's getting too tense in here. Spray a little Quantum Shift. Everybody, it's a nice citrusy, cleaning smell. And then another one that I use a lot is the Trust Oil. She's got a whole line of recovery oils, and one of them is the Trust Oil, and it just gives you a nice platform to stand on. You're like, okay, I can do this. I was freaking out a minute ago, but I can do this. So check them out at daughtersofisis.com. And on the website, there's a phone number you can call Gwen the Blender. She's very personable and will help you with any of your very specific needs and goals. So there you go. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, definitely. And you can bring in, and don't forget to incorporate your spirits. There's nothing better than inviting your spirits and spirits of other worlds into your journey to help with your recovery of anything, whether it be from fear or whether it be from sadness or guilt or depression. If you're depressed, invite the fairies into your life. I love that whole idea. It's a childlike idea, but there's a project that I was looking at that I was thinking of incorporating into my life, was just building a fairy house. It invites the fairies to bring it into your realm, and they bring the added life into your life. And
playfulness.
Playfulness and stuff. And music is such a there, nothing changes your vibration faster than putting on the right music. And the right music for you may not be the right music for me, because I love throwing on a little Black Sabbath and really getting mellow.
Yeah.
And I know that that's not going to be everybody's vibration.
Right. Whatever works for you, yes. And I'm definitely distracting yourself. I mean, we're so interested in, oh, but I feel this and I need to figure it out. Yeah, okay, you can figure it out, but sometimes you can just distract yourself. I don't feel like feeling that right now. What's going to put me in a different place? And you're right, any kind of music, any kind of, you know, your bag, push your own buttons. If your negative buttons have been pushed, then push your own positive buttons, whatever that is.
Exactly.
You feel great about it. It's the greatest work you can ever do, is make yourself feel good and learning how to just let your boat go downstream instead of upstream. That's why the dark side is never a good idea for too long, because it's just too much work.
Exactly. No one can be more self-sabotaging than self. And we can pick up that baseball bat and beat us up over and over and over again. Yeah. And, you know, oh, my God, we're trained. We are trained to do that in our society. Oh, my God, he broke up with me. Get me the cart of Ben and Jerry's. Well, you know what? Is that really going to work? Think about it.
Right.
Is that really going to work at the end of the day? Filling yourself with all that dairy. Oh,
Do something that's going to make you happy. Not necessarily, that's a good point. Something's going to make you happy, not something that's going to just make you feel better. Sometimes if you can get over yourself and go, well, I think it's a bad thing, but I'm going to feel fine about it today, then all right, fine. But, yeah, if you're going to eat a whole carton, you know that there's a stomach ache waiting for you at the end of the day. So maybe not so good, you know. That's more of a Band-Aid than a really boat pusher. Well, and in the song I'm going to play us out on, she talks about exactly that. She says, I'll be the one to hold the gun and, you know, make myself feel something that, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's great because it's all for learning, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Wonderful co-host. Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you, listeners. And thank you so much, Diane, for all your insights. And so I will play us out, and we will see you all next week. We'll hear you all. And, yeah, go ahead and say goodnight, Diane.
Good night. And it was such a great time with you tonight, Nicole. And I will I'll be here next week.
Great. All right. Peace and love. Hear it.
I feel it all. I feel it all.
Great week, everyone.